I read Hebrews 10 Sunday night, Monday morning around 4 a.m., or was it yesterday at 4 a.m.? The outline begins to come on the passage, start to get the things falling in place in Hebrews chapter 10. And then I realized that I wanted to make some opening comments. And those opening comments became a little bit of a sermonette. And then from the sermonette, it became a sermon. And so I realized that really what I need to do is communicate that portion tonight. I want you to understand where I come from and what my passion is when I preach. Certainly, unquestionably, I seek to preach Jesus Christ. And unquestionably, I seek to preach from the Word. And it's crucial. It is vital. When we have the youth in here, I certainly and absolutely will always treat you as adults. But with that comes the expectation to respond as an adult. The last couple of times we've had some talking and stuff. And you can see the youth are distributed. I was going to have the youth move into this section, but we don't need to tonight. But I still need to share why it's crucial. I'm not the reason any of that's important. I'm not the reason the youth need to not talk. I'm not. Because it's not about me up here, per se. But the reason we want to reduce or eliminate distractions, as we'll see in a few minutes, is because of what the Scripture says about itself. Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God is living and powerful, and it's sharper than a two-edged sword, right? And it's able to cut between bone and marrow. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word of God is crucial. The Word of God, the flower shall fade, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the Word of God shall remain forever. We'll look at a couple other passages tonight. And actually what I'm going to do tonight, which will be a little bit different from usual, is I'm going to do a little bit of chalk talk, if you'll allow me to. We used to call it chalk talk. I can't do chalk talk without chalk. So we're going to do Office Max marker chalk talk. And if I were even really quicker, I'd be able to give you some sort of neat phrase with that. But we're just going to get on this. Everybody can see the board? All right. Now, this is going to be a test for our senior citizens. Not quite like the driving test. Can I have you read the first line on the board, please? If you can't read that line, you need to move up. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. This group, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Look it up. All right, we'll start here. This group, Romans 10. We'll have a couple passages from Romans 10. We're going to do a little bit of chalk talk, and then we're going to go into an extremely common parable, one that's quite often talked about and preached, and one we're going to take just a slightly different approach afterwards. We'll go through it, and then we're going to have a little bit of twist on it. All right. We told you our daughters trained in martial arts. The girls all have. Hannah, I think, was a senior second degree. Deborah made it to third degree. Joshua made it to senior second degree black belt. And they have actually utilized those skills. Sadly, three of us have utilized those skills against the same kid in the youth group at Manchac. You know, hey, I guess he's just gone down the age. He knew he couldn't take Dad. Dad hurt him a little bit. And so he thought he would try something with one of the other girls. It was not sexual or anything like that, but he was just being a boogerhead. And she took him down, and I think he tried with the third one, and I think she nodded, and she did take him down. But I really want to talk about when Deborah took him down. Deborah was playing football with a guy. They were just tossing back and forth, and this boogerhead, I can't give you his name other than boogerhead because you might know him, boogerhead decided he wanted to keep coming up and jumping in the way. How many of y'all have ever had that? You're just sitting there trying to play catch, and there's just a boogerhead who's got to run and intercept every single pass and not catch it, but knock it to the ground so that nobody gets it. How many of y'all have played against that boogerhead? Come on, be real. Green, is he a boogerhead? You take him down before. Well, again.
I was the guy that was knocking it down.
You were the guy that was knocking it down. All right, we're going to play and lay hands on my friend Chauncey Day from AMD today. So he did get a little inappropriate, and then he was kind of bumping up against her. And she said, stop it or I'm going to drop you. That should have been a warning. These guys are sparred, Deborah. So the ball's in the air, and the guy gets up, and he comes running over, and Deborah goes, boom! and folded him over like an accordion. Just caught him in the gut. He walked over to the curb and he just sat there and pouted. He was completely taken out of the play. Believe me, there's actually some madness to that story. There's actually some relevance to that story tonight. But you'll have to wait until the end to see how we tie this in. All right, you guys got Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 for me? All right, how many of y'all can actually do that from memory? Anybody in here can do that from memory? All right, we got a couple hands that can do this. Listen, you need to memorize this one. You need to memorize this one. All right, somebody bold and brave in this section, stand up and read Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 for me. It's like, you have got to be kidding me. And it cannot be anybody, well, I guess we've had just one singer over here. Somebody step up and read Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 for me. You got beat. All right, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, right? And that not of yourselves. It is the gift. The gift of who? All right. I can't go out and draw God as a stick figure. I'm just going to leave it a little big D. For by grace, God's grace, are you saved. Through faith, and that not of yourselves, the faith is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For by grace are you saved. You really do want to be saved. For by grace does this get accomplished. This gets accomplished through faith. It's a gift from God. Here is God giving this gift by His grace of faith that you can be saved. Pretty incredible, isn't it? That's salvation. Now, where's my Romans group? Who's the youngest in the room? Who's the oldest in the Romans group? No, I'm not going to do that. All right, Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Memorize this. Anybody in the middle section want to stand up and read it? So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. This is an ear. May not look like an ear, but that's an ear. Don't make me draw the rest of the face. It's a broken heart. How do you come to Jesus Christ? With a broken heart. See, I can handle anything you're going to toss in my direction tonight. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's the gift of God. Therefore, faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the what? Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. The Word of God is also that same gift of faith. Okay. You see where all this is coming from God, right? Okay. Romans 10, 14. I know I'm taking them out of order, but that's intentional. Somebody read Romans 10, 14 for me. It's a long one. All right. Did you catch those three? Let me jump over to Romans 10 as well. Three things there. One, incredibly crucial. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? You got to believe. And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. The Word of God is necessary. So, what's it say? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Time to draw a preacher. Okay, so this is a preacher. Handsome devil, isn't he? Alright. This really shows you how little I play in any proclaimer the gospel of Jesus Christ proclaims. He is simply a conduit. He's simply a conduit. I am simply a conduit. You're not going to get saved from any story I tell. It's great to hear Deborah lay somebody out. Right? Pat her on the back, all those things. Nobody gets saved from that. You get saved by hearing and proclamation of the Word of God. Do you see how crucial and essential it is that the Word of God be preached? When individuals are not preaching from this book, and they're not preaching the person of this book, this is only going to happen through miraculous means apart from what it should have happened. Let's draw this up just a little bit more and build this up. Now we're going to walk through one of the passages that are very, very common. Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. Sean, question.
So you can't hear the word unless it's preached to you? You can't read it and learn it that way?
I think what the author is talking there is because they didn't have the multiplicity of the copies at the time, it was going to be read through scrolls. Yeah. That's one of the neat things about the Word of God. It's one of the saddest things about its neglect, both in personal reading and in preaching. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I don't have enough faith. Tell me about your reading time. Oh, I don't read. Duh! Go figure that one out. It's about God. You could have faith in God because you read about Him. You see His faithfulness. You see Him say, I'm going to do this, and He does it. That's faith. Faith gets built up. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Certainly the proclamation time is really crucial. But it does not forego the ability of God to take this book and cause somebody to read it and somebody to get saved by it, apart from anybody who's going to preach it.
So, I mean, you hear it when you read it to yourself.
You certainly can do that too. Although that slows you down when you're reading, by the way. Basis, question. Hold that spot in Luke 8 and let's go look at the rest of Romans 10 then, because rather than me answer, let's see what God says about the question you just asked when He anticipated you asking that question. Read 15 through 16 for me. Actually, just 15 and 16. Just 15. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Okay. Difference in translation there. And how shall they preach unless they are sent? Yes. Matthew 28. As you are going, go ye therefore into all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all things that I have commanded you, teaching them to obey all things that I have commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the ends of the age. Because He's with you to the end of the age implies that that commandment to go goes to the end of the age as well, which categorically puts us all in that you need to go. So where do we go? We go to work, we go to the grocery store, we go to the gym, wherever you can share Christ. Okay? Yes. Now, there are particular people who are called to be evangelists outside of, and what I mean by that is, Billy Graham would be an evangelist. Large public gatherings. He's an evangelist. But all of us are called to evangelism. Okay? All of us are to share the gospel. All of us are to go ye therefore. So, good. And yes, they need to be sent. But the reality is, God said go. We got sent. We got our marching orders in Matthew 28. Luke chapter 8. Hold these thoughts for a little bit. And now let's go through one of the most common parables we've been through. You guys have probably been through. And it starts in Luke chapter 4, Luke chapter 8. And we can pick it up in verse 4. And when a great multitude had gathered and they came to Him from every city, He spoke by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed. I'm going to ask you a question in a minute. I'm going to ask you to tell me the four types of soil. Okay, so pay attention to this as we read it. And I'm going to start over in this section right over here, okay? A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. But others fell on the good ground, springing up and yielded a crop 100-fold. Jesus said, when He said these things, He cried, He who has ears to hear, let him hear. We're about to understand the interpretation of this. And rather than you tell me, let's listen to Jesus tell us. All right? Starts in verse 11. Now the parable is this. The seed is the Word of God. All right. What's the seed here? Okay. That's a soft pitch, folks. You're not going to get many of those. The seed. Is the seed important for this parable? Yeah. Yeah. It absolutely is. Verse 12. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts. All right. Soils. That's the first one. Somebody over here, tell me what the first soil is. The wayside. What's the wayside? It's like the side of the road, right? How many times do you see You can, but how often do you see, you know, beautiful flowers on the paved side of the road? It's just not frequent. If it can happen, it's not frequent. What happens to this seed? Those by the wayside are the ones who hear, then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Do these people get saved? No. Why? Why? Why don't they respond? Woo! Make sure, yeah. Now, that's going to cause all kinds of doctrinal issues, isn't it? What's the number one rule about parables? Don't build doctrine on them. They're meant to teach a simple spiritual truth. They're not meant to build doctrinal issues on these. But we do know that the soil is ready. The soil's there. Drops the seed on the wayside, and this guy comes and takes it away. So they're not saved. Let's look at the next type of soil. It's actually verse 6, but the definition is verse 13. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and they have no root. They believe for a while, and in a time of temptation, fall away. What's over here? What's the second kind of thing it falls on? Rock. And what happens to the soil that falls on this rock? Well, not the soil, but the seed. No root. Eventually, it falls away. Saved? I'm not going to build doctrine on a parable. Matthew 23 or Matthew... This Matthew 13 has a similar parable, and I think it draws the line a little bit lower on who is and who isn't. All right, let's take a look at the next soil. Verse 14. Now, the ones that fell among the thorns are those whom, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. What kind, what does it fall on, this soil? What's the third kind of soil? There's thorns. And what happens to the thorns, the stuff that grows with the thorns? Choked. I misspelled this the first time. It gets choked away. All right. The last one. Verse 15. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. What's the last soil? It's good soil. And what happens here? Just to make it look right or sound equivalently, I use the term to get blown away. Those individuals, God gets a hold of their life and takes off. Their life's radically different. Radically, radically different. Now, I want to go back to this wayside soil. And Satan comes and takes it away. Distractions and talking during the sermons about stuff that has nothing to do with the sermon comes and makes a piercing right here. It comes and cuts right here. When an individual is talking to another individual during the proclamation of the word, not when I'm speaking per se, but if I'm proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, if I'm proclaiming the word of God, God is doing all of these things with that intention in mind, and you're cutting it off. Who does that equate you with? Satan. To cut up, to distract from those sitting next to you when they're trying, when the proclamation of the gospel is going out, when God Himself is trying to provide a gift of grace through faith, through the proclamation of His word, which is His seed, which saves, and you are distracting that individual from receiving that portion, you're doing the work of Satan. Do you know why I get bent out of shape for individuals talking? It has nothing to do with me being offended. It has everything to do with a battle between heaven and hell. Ryan, name everybody in here who's saved. I don't either. You know what my assumption is? Absolutely everybody needs to hear this. Everybody. So if everybody in here has the potential of not being saved, who needs to hear the gospel? Who can I talk to then? Now, I don't mind dialogue.
Everyone.
Exactly. I don't mind dialogue. I don't mind dialogue going back and forth with the content of the message. But notes and texting and all these other things that cause a distraction is accomplishing the work of Satan. And you might not be interested in Christ. And yeah, you're heading to hell. But I'm not going to let somebody take somebody with them. That's why I jump on folks' stuff. That's why I'm adamant. It has nothing to do with me. I'm a nobody. What did Paul say? A pile of manure, saved by grace. Whoa, look, I'm saved by grace through faith. That's not of myself. It's a gift of God, not of works. Because I can't boast. This is why I get adamant. This is why I'll get bent out of shape. It's because it's a battle between heaven and hell for somebody. And this is why we can pray. We can pray. God, make them sit still. Holy Spirit, hold on to that person. Do you see where my passion comes from? Folks, I try to balance all of this incredible work of God with my little role in it. I can't add to it, but I never want to distract from it. Ever want to distract from the proclamation of the Word. Because by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Faith then comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And how shall they hear if someone doesn't preach? It's that simple. That's why I can get foamy in the mouth and talk to you afterwards. And the reality is, you guys are set differently and stuff. And listen, looks like the parents did a lot of work here tonight. But parents, you can be a distraction too. You can. Don't be. Now, in the big scheme of things, we serve a really big God. And I doubt that this person's salvation is actually hanging in the balance of whether James gets every verb tense right or every enunciation, whether he could pronounce synecdoche properly or not. It doesn't. The point is God going to have to go around you? Because you're being a distraction to someone who could be hearing the Word of Gospel, the Word of God, the Gospel of Jesus Christ to be saved. That's the issue. That's why I get adamant. It's that simple. What soil are you? I'll leave you there. Let's pray.